Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is June 22nd, 2011, approximately 9:30 a.m. on the Pacific side of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited to be here today. I'm so excited to be on this show. It's been a few weeks since I've had my last show, and I'm ready to get things started because I have a very, very, very special guest. Oh, man. You know, this guest, he often says that I inspire him, but truly he inspires me. And it's just because of the reasons he knows exactly what he wants to do and what he wants to accomplish, and he's very, very young. When I was his age, I did not have my eyes on Hollywood. I did barely knew what I wanted to do or accomplish at the time. But I'm very excited about him. We met actually in the fall of 2010 through a neutral teacher that he had at the time and one that I had, which is Coach Stewart. When I was in high school, I was affiliated with Coach Stewart. I had a class with him, and one of the basketball coaches. He knew of me, but I'm so honored that he kept in contact with me over the years. Been over a decade since I've been in high school, but he kept in contact with me, and he invited me to the television production class to meet one of his students that he thought was very, very talented and creative, and he knew that own business and wanted me to give him some pointers. So I went to the student production class there to see their morning show and to see this young student and what he was doing. And I stood there with my mouth open watching his work, thinking that maybe this student could teach me a few things, because in terms of what he was doing and what he was accomplishing for his genre of film, it was completely amazing, you know. So I'm just happy to still be in contact with this young man as he flourishes through his career. He's been a part of the Motown Maurice Show when I launched it, and I'm just excited. We actually met in 2009, fall of 2009, if I'm not mistaken. That's my apologies. But ladies and gentlemen, please, please put your hands together and welcome my guest for the show, Joey O.
How you doing, Motown?
Hey, I am doing absolutely great, and I'm really happy to have you on the line. How are you feeling?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm feeling great, man. Everything's going great. I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. I'm in Hollywood, the place where you're supposed to be, but we're not going to talk about that yet. We're going to basically go through a timeline, if that's okay with you, of your life and some of the things you accomplished. And I'm looking at your documentary, I'm reading your bio, and I'm really inspired by it because, I mean, from such a young age, you knew exactly what you wanted to do. When I was six, seven, 8 years old, I was still watching Sesame Street. But you were making films and creating the things that you wanted to do. So not only is that inspiration for me, I want it to be an inspiration to others. But before we even get into the film and the directing that you've been doing, you had a stroke at the age of six. You suffered one. Now, how did that affect you as a child and growing up from that point on?
I suffered a massive stroke in 1996, pretty much at the age of six or seven. It kind of caused a pretty bad side for me for the filming, because as I was little at the age, I was doing a couple of shows, and, you know, I pretty much had to stay in the hospital for a little while. and it affected as much as almost everything that I've done, and it gone to a critical state where they, you know, they gave the chance, you know, the percentages of they were like, you know, the doctors say that there's a high chance that, you know, I may pass away. But, you know, fortunately, God was with me, so I went through it, and I'm still here. So, and
well, praise the Lord for that. And following that, you just went through a phase of trying to decide what you wanted to be in life, right?
Yeah, definitely. I after that, you know, I went through a couple months of, you know, I was like, man, you know, I wonder what I'm going to become, you know, when I get older. So I was like, and then it hit me, you know, I saw a firefighter. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's definitely what I want to be, a firefighter. But, you know, after a week or so, I was like, no. I'm like, no, it's the weatherman. But then, you know, and then I actually done weatherman jobs in my, it's Alexander Elementary, my elementary school. I was in that morning show doing the weatherman, you know, and then after that, I was like, no, it's astronaut. But then I realized I cannot fly in space. So then that's when I started noticing, I'm like, wait a minute. Because I had a camera, and while I was doing all of that, I was making little shows with Legos, little stop motion. And I said, hey, I think I know what it is. And that's when I realized I want to become a film director.
Now, that Lego film, I only saw a clip of it, but it looked so well done. I mean, you were 8 years old. How did you know to direct a Lego film with animation and live-action movement? I mean, how in the world does an 8-year-old know how to do that?
Well, it's actually funny, really. When I was at that age, I had, you know, of course, my parents, you know, they spoiled me with a bunch of, you know, Lego toys and a bunch of Legos. I had like a full bag of them. And, of course, I had my first, you know, old, back in the day, camera. And I actually found out by accident of how it works on that way. It's stop motion. You know, most people know stop motion as, you know, you record, you pause, you record, you know, and you have to move it every frame by frame. Well, I actually found out accidentally back in the day when I was little, I was playing with the Legos, and I accidentally recorded my camera, and then I accidentally stopped it to, you know, save tape. And I looked into the footage, and I realized I saw a difference change in the frame. So I was like, wait a minute. So then I started learning, you know, little by little until, you know, next thing you know, I'm making Legos run, you know, with like little machine guns and, you know, just cars going by and action little films. So I was like, oh, here we go.
Nice. I think you should get back into that. I really like that. That's really cool. They created
you think so?
Yeah, I like that. I really like that a lot. It's just cool. I think it's there's not a lot of stop motion right now, but, you know, Hollywood has a pattern of returning to things. So I wouldn't be surprised if you know, stop motion returns within a matter of years and things like that. So, don't put that on the back burner at all. I mean, I like it. It's an eye-opener for kids. You know, I'm still a big kid at heart. So when I see stuff like that, I'm just like, my eyes is wide open and I'm just frozen watching that type of thing for a little while. But following that, you started to get into, like, live-action film, which was just the beginning of this plethora of live-action films that you created later on. But your very first one was in 2003, and it's influenced by wars. I mean, tell me, what are the influences of your first live-action film?
Well, I started my first live-action film footage in the year 2003 with a couple old friends that I had for almost forever. Pretty much the influences are, when I was little, I really got into a lot of war action, you know, as most are familiar with the film, Saving Private Ryan. That was, you know, one of my biggest idols right there. And, you know, I always loved the action of the World War II and, you know, just the, you know, the explosions, you know, I sat there and I realized, I'm like, you know, and I said to myself, I wonder if I could do the same thing. I was like, maybe I can pull off the same effects, you know, and I tried it. And, you know, and little by little, I started realizing, I'm like, hey, this is, you know, going pretty good. And I started having friends during my journey of, you know, helping me out with, you know, like weapons and, you know, like, you know, equipment, you know, for the film. And, you know, it just started turning into that. And then that's when in 2003, in that moment, I made the first one. And, you know, of course, you know, we all laughed because, you know, it was our first. And, you know, of course, it was the worst, but it was the best because it's the best memory that we have from back in the day.
So, in the making of that film, how many times did your neighbors call the police on you? Come on. Be honest.
Oh dear. Yeah, we've been called the cops pretty numerous times. There's just some, you know, days that we would film, and there's a character in my film is called a Brum Soldier, and pretty much what they look like is just they're completely covered, you know, bandana, cape, you know, the only skin they show is on their hands. And, you know, you can't imagine, you know, you go outside getting your newspaper, you know, at 1 p.m. or, you know, at 12 in the morning, and you just see all these, you know, Brums and machine guns just running on the street, you know, talking with deep voices like Darth Vader. You know, almost every neighbor of mine was just, you know, flipping out. I remember there's a story. This is actually pretty funny that we actually scared my next neighbor, that she actually, she was sitting on her porch, you know, enjoying her day. And, you know, I had a good friend, Roylin of mine. His name's Roy, and we were filming, and, you know, she got so scared that she just ran into the house, and she locked the door, she locked the windows, and then after we finished filming, we saw her crying, and I was like, oh, what's wrong with her? We went up to her, and she was like, oh, my goodness, and we said, what happened? She goes, it was terrible, you know, the army, the new army, they were coming at me. it gets bad, but, I mean, you know, over time, my neighbors now know, so now it's like, you know, like to the present today, I can, you know, go out there with like a tank and you know, a machine gun, and they'll come outside and be like, oh, you know, this is
a
Joe.
Tank. This is a little bit too realistic. A tank?
Well, I mean, that's actually one of my good friends. His name is Randy. Randy Concepcion. He makes all the equipment for me. He's like one of my best blacksmiths I've ever had. Anything you can imagine, Motown, anything, he will make it. He's the greatest, like, craziest blacksmith I've seen. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna end up starting a war over there in town. And oh man, there's so much to talk about these live action films. Because I know you have a whole bunch that you've done, and we're gonna talk more about that. I do want to say that, I mean, I often, you know, when you worked on the show with me, and we'll talk about it in a second, and we'll have a conversation. There's always an area of, you know, where this, well, you're in film, period, you have to be patient. And you always say, well, I'm a very patient person. Just watching your film, I can imagine the amount of patience a person needs to have, because you do pay attention to detail, and it is just very well executed in terms of your discipline and the organization with your soldiers. Well, so I definitely commend you on that, because it takes a lot of patience. That's why, you know, I admire what you're doing so much, because it's like that's the area of film that I don't have the patience for. I have a lot of patience for stuff, obviously, but, you know, that's an area that you've mastered. So, you know, keep doing that. Keep doing it. But moving on. No problem. Moving on. So you created your first variety show in 2005, the Stephen Ortiz Show. Talk about that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, in 2005, we started our first show right there. It was called the Stephen Ortiz Show. It was based off of a best friend that I had, a very good friend. He was like a brother of mine, and his name, of course, you know, Stephen Ortiz. So it was pretty much a show of, you know, in the genre of it was, you know, just crazy, random stuff, you know, like just unfortunate events, anything can happen. And it was going pretty good, and everything was great. So it stayed strong, and that was our first show, and as it's called the Stephen Ortiz Show, we also called it SOS, which is stands for SOS Crew, which is a group of my friends, and that was my my film crew. I had a small film crew, and that's all of my friends. And even to this day, I still talk to every single one of them except for one, which is Stephen Ortiz, the main one, because he has actually moved to Puerto Rico. So I have lost contact with him during the ending of 2005.
See, one day he's gonna be, you know, one of these days upcoming, he's gonna be on YouTube, and he's gonna run into your video, and he's gonna see himself, and it's gonna be a reunion. I can see it now.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with one of the SOS members. We were like, you know, I said one day, you know, he's gonna be like, you know, Joey, who's this? And he's like, oh my goodness, like, you know, that's I'm hoping that, you know, if that happens, that's just gonna be, you know, insane for me to see him again, because he was another of one of my great idols, Stephen Ortiz. He's another that pushed me to, you know, make the films. You know, he always told me, you know, hey, make the movies, come on, let's make a show. You know, he'll come over, hey, come on, man, let's make a show today. And he's also the one that came up with my corporation name, which is called Pecat Pictures, which that's what I use for my copyright for all my films. You know, so it's Pecat Pictures. He's actually the one that came up with this. So he's like I said, he's like the idol.
Wow. It's amazing, some of the most important people in your life that inspire you the most, that drives you the most, all the people who are in your life for the shortest amount of times. And I've noticed that, you know, some of the people that have pushed me to the level I'm at right now, you would think that they're, you know, that they'll be there forever. And it's not that you're on bad terms with anybody. It's just that, you know, there's a season and time for everybody. So, you know, Stephen had a very, very, very important role. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he's not there right now. And, you know, God willing, y'all will reconnect again. But I'm telling you, you'll run into a lot of people that they won't even do much. They might say one thing or give you one thing and then somehow disappear. But that moment y'all meet, you know, that interaction is so vital and pivotal, you know, to your life and your experience. So, yeah. You know, big ups to Stephen, and I look forward to the reunion that y'all going to have. But following that, obviously, you had to go through a change of names with your show, which allowed you to launch the Joey O Show. So how was the Joey O Show starting out?
Yeah, well, pretty much, yeah, it's after, you know, the situation of Stephen Ortiz, we changed it to the Joey O Show because, you know, I was the one that, you know, I edited it, filmed it, you know, recorded it. I pretty much did everything. So as we changed the Joey O Show, we kept it on there. And it continued, and, you know, of course, you know, same thing, comedy and, you know, funniness, you know, unfortunate events. And it continued, you know, all the way up to, and then in 2010, that's when I joined the morning show of Leto High School. And,
yeah.
You know, I was like, and I see all these kids in there in that class. And, you know, none of them, they, like, most, you know, knew what they were doing, but most pretty much didn't know anything. And I sat there and I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I know so much. Like, I know too much. So I was like, maybe I should show the Joey O Show. So, you know, I gave it a chance, and I put the first show in Leto during September 15th, 2009, you know, going into the year 2010. And that became extremely vital, and it blew up in Leto. It was great. It became strong, and then the teachers recognized me, and everybody started recognizing me, and then I kept showing more shows, and it became to the point where I started to become like an idol, like, you know, people were like, oh yeah, there goes Joey O, you know. And then, you know, I made parodies of, you know, most celebrities, you know, to continue, you know, to make them stronger. And yeah, it just became so crazy, you know, that, you know, the principal, I even got the principal to dance, and I even got the assistant principal to, like, do backflips, you know, things that you will never see again in Leto High School that I say, you know.
And you got it all on tape. It makes no sense to me how you were able to get assistant principals and teachers, faculty able to go along with your videos. What kind of spell did you put on them? Please tell me now, because I can use it in Hollywood.
Well, you see, it's just the way I was just running things at the morning show. They started, like, looking at me differently from any other students. So they were just like, you know, oh my goodness. So it, like, let's say, you know, if I go into, like, you know, the principal's office, but, hey, you know, I say, Mr. Fernandez, hey, we gotta make a show, come on. And he will, you know, he will literally be like, oh, okay, let's go, let's do this. And, you know, I'll pretty much tell him, all right, I just need you to dance for this special episode, you know, this week. And he will do the dance. And there's a assistant principal in Leto High School that is called Mr. Askedom, and he doesn't affiliate with nothing. He doesn't affiliate with anything or clubs, but I made him dance, and that's probably, like, the hardest thing that somebody will ever try to do again in Leto. And in my opinion, I don't think that will ever happen again.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, to get him to dance, it's pretty,
wow,
pretty intense. He doesn't listen.
Not only was it monumental that you were able to have him dance, but it's a good thing in some ways that they won't be dancing anymore, because, yeah, Mr. Astrodon, I've seen some of his moves, and, yeah, we don't need him dancing anymore.
Definitely.
Oh, man, that is so crazy. I just love how you were able to do that. Now, has any teachers ever told you no?
Actually, no. They've all opportunities. I only had one teacher that actually said no, and it was only because they were too busy from their work of their job, from their teaching, that they had to do some, you know, intern work with a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, no, nobody actually said no to me for, like, you know, like, a reason of, like, they don't feel like it. Everybody wanted to be a part of, you know, and I would have kids walking in the hallway, and they would come up to me, and they'll be, you know, hey, I want to be on the Joey O Show, I want to be on the Joey O Show.
Yeah.
You know, like, every single period, you know, I would go to the classes, you know, like, you know, second period, third period, you know, every time the bell rings, I walk through the hallways, you know, at least more than eight, you know, out here, Joey-O, from, like, random people, and I'll be, hey, you know, hey, how you doing, hey, you know, and, I mean, it's just crazy, you know, and, like, this is the beneficial things that's happened in Lathrop for me. That's what gave me the biggest, you know, push, you know, like, the most, you know, generous push to where I'm at now. So that was definitely, like, you know, like a great, you know, a great experience for me right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You are blessed to have all that footage and memories from your senior year from Lathrop High School. Don't get me wrong. I got a lot of photos. I got about three large photo albums, but I have no video of myself. I remember doing a little French rap in my French class, but then this dude lost it. And up to this day, when I think about it, it hurts my heart that he lost the tape. He was supposed to make a dub. But, I mean, yeah, it hurts my heart. But you got so much, so, man, it's so exciting. And you've already created your first documentary. Hey, man, keep doing it. But I do want to take this moment to give a shout-out to Coach Stewart. You know, Coach Stewart is the reason that we're connected, period. Okay. You know, it's funny because when I was at Lato, you know, Coach Stewart probably knew me as the guy that got cut from the basketball team so many times, you know. Maybe I had him in driver's ed. I don't remember. Maybe it might have been him or someone else. But for the most part, you know, I was always in his direction or in his environment. But I'm not sure if he was actually a teacher of mine. But, you know, we were familiar with each other very much, very much. And I'm honored that he, you know, he remembered me over the years. He's kept track of what I've been doing. He saw somebody like yourself with similar talent. And he connected us. And it is such a blessing to have somebody because the teachers change so often. But Coach Stewart, you know, still at Lato, still remember faces and bridging the gap. And I think that's a great thing. What are your views on, you know, your Coach Stewart?
Yeah, he's probably the, I would say, at the number one teacher since now that I've graduated in 2010 from Lato. He's probably one of the best that has, you know, like you said, connected us, that's, you know, bring us together and, you know, like, give us opportunities. Yeah, he definitely helped me out a lot, actually, a lot from most things. The way he introduced me to you, you know, he just, you know, told me, he goes, you know, I think you should really do this, you know, because, you know, it's going to be an e-board, you know, it's a talk show, it's going to push you out there. You know, I was like, all right, you know, and, you know, look what happened now. And, yeah, definitely, you know, Stewart, he's definitely part of the history in the making of where I'm going, so... I mean, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Big ups to Coach Stewart. Talk to you soon. So, you know, through the connection that we had through Coach Stewart, you was able to be on the Motown Marie show, which was my show that I launched in Tampa, Florida, which is the reason I'm in Hollywood now. We're going to talk about Hollywood in a second, speaking of Hollywood. But how was that experience on the Motown Marie show? What did you think of that?
Well,
you know,
Motown,
to be honest,
I can tell
you,
that was probably the worst time. That was probably the best. That was honestly the best experience that I could imagine. I mean, you know, I'm just sitting here working on camera one for this, you know, late night talk show. I'm still a little, you know, lost of what was going on during that moment. But, you know, still I was behind this camera one, you know, being told what to do, you know, like pan left, pan right, you know, and you know, I see a guy, you know, we're going to be live in 5, 4, you know, I mean, it was just amazing. Like, I saw, like, I was, you know, like Jay Leno was going to walk in and I'm going to point at him and be like, oh, look, he's here, you know, or something, like. But probably better than Jay Leno, you know. But besides that, it was, you know, great. It was amazing, like, greatest experience ever. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. It was, you know, something that I've, you know, never seen before because, you know, I haven't gone that far. But, you know, now that I've seen it, you know, now that I've went through it, I can honestly say it was great, man. It was amazing, awesome. And like I said, you know, that's where I could feel like that moment right there that you had there, that's going to push you big time. Just like how everything is pushing me as well.
And I'm glad you were a part of that. Thank you. Now, before I get into my other subject, you know, just based off of what you just said, you know, when I look at your timeline, the stroke that you had when you were 6 inspired you to be a film director. And from the moment you decided to be a film director, your friend later, Stephen Ortiz, he inspired you to do his variety show, which led to the Joey-O show. And the Joey-O show, you know, led to you doing, you know, action films. And then from the action films, you're doing the morning show on Lato and all these great stuff. And my show, the Motown Marie show, led me to Hollywood. So what's going to take, what's going to get you to Hollywood? You know, that's what question I'm asking you. I see so many different transitional points in your career, in your timeline, but ultimately, you know, to get on that grand scale, to do be on that universal scale, you got to be here. But what are your views on that? Are you have a, like, I'm not worried about it, or do you really know you have to be in Hollywood?
Well, at the moment, I kind of have a slight, at the moment, to be in Hollywood, but it's like a, I'll put it this way. It's like a bomb, you know. It takes time for it to go off. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm pretty much a bomb that's, you know, taking time before I go off. Now, like, I'm working on a motion picture right now that's called Blackheart. And in my opinion, I think that's probably going to be the biggest project I have ever worked in, ever in my experience. And when that is finished, that's when I, you know, go off, just, you know, like I said, the bomb. That's my bomb, right? That's my time. That's where I'm going to take the film and pretty much spread and go, you know, make it go, you know, viral everywhere I can. And that's when I start, that's when I believe my journey will begin, right there, to the moment where I'm going to fly to Hollywood, show the film, and see what I can do and see what, you know, what happens, and start working as hard as possible, as hard as I can, to see, you know, how far I can get. I mean, I've for, you know, a regular kid, you know, only at the age of 20, you know, I believe in myself that I've gone pretty far, farther than others. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I'm saying, you know, it wouldn't hurt, you know, to try to go farther. You know, that's the only option I have, especially for how far I am right now. You know, I might as well continue. So that's my, the look that I have, that I will be looking into Hollywood, but not at the moment, because I believe that I'm not ready yet, that I'm still in the making. I'm still kind of in my eggshell, but there's going to be that moment when the eggshell is going to snap and crack, and that means that's when I fly over there, and that's when I start, you know, throwing everything I got, you know, as best as possible and as hard as I can.
Hey, yeah, and I like your analogy. You're just ticking away until you're ready to explode. As long as you know that you're going to be, you need to be in Hollywood, because a lot of times we tend to have the mentality, at least I had the mentality the majority of time, if not all the time until the end when I was in Tampa, that I'm going to wait for Hollywood to call me. And it just doesn't work like that. It really never does, and it doesn't. You have to bring yourself out there. It's like saying I'm the best basketball player in the world, and I'm in, you know, the basketball courts in town and country. And it doesn't, you know, you can't be the best if you're not in the NBA. If you want to be the best, then you go to the NBA and you compete. You compete with the best and you work with the best. And the same thing with Hollywood. You might, you know, be the best in your hometown, in your surrounding area, but you really are not the best, you know, to the world, or you're not at your best until you're working with the best. So it's less individual than you think, than most people think. You know, when you get to Hollywood, you can be the most talented editor, director there, but you're not the best until you start working with others like-minded, and y'all can bring visions together. So that's the biggest part, is just finding the right people to work with. It's not about being discovered, because I think being discovered, that whole analogy is overrated, because you discovered yourself, and you're discovering yourself as you go along. When you get to a place like Hollywood, you have to attract the right people to work with, you know. So it's just a beautiful thing, and I think you got it going on in terms of your head being in the right direction. You know, at the age of 20, I was not thinking about stuff like that. So keep it up. Look, we only got a few seconds left on the show. Please plug a few websites before you go, so the people can know how to find you.
Oh, excuse me. Say again. I hear you.
Oh, please plug a few websites. Websites. We got like 30 seconds.
All right, so people can know where to find you. If people want to see me, you know, you could just go on YouTube. You type in Schmed1. Schmed1, it's S-H-M-E-D-1. Just type it on the YouTube search bar, and it could take you there. I also have a Facebook, Joey O. It's J-O-O-E-Y-O, Joey O, or Joey O Undergrounds, which is my new show that I'm working on.
Nice. Joey O, hey, I wish you all the best. Keep me updated with all your success, and just keep on doing it. I'm looking forward to the release of Blackheart. You know, hopefully I can get some tickets to come screen it.
Yeah, definitely, man.
All right. So we will talk again later. Thank you again, Joey. Yo.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it. This is great, man. Thank you. Thanks, Motown.
You're very welcome. You're welcome. Talk to you later.
All right, man.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice, and I'm signing off. Check me out on my blog, MotownMaurice.com, so you can know exactly what I'm doing. Once again, MotownMaurice.com. Later!